We should make Eunice presenter.
Okay, sure.
He's the...
I just always have to show something for a second before I start the recording. Otherwise, it gets
messed
up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's the moderator, so...
So you now can see my screen?
Well, maybe you want to present something because you're a model. That's beautiful. What is that?
What is that?
That's, let's see.
That's in Turkey?
This is Turkey, yeah.
Beautiful.
This is an ancient church, I guess, carved into the rock. This is pretty close to Izmir, I believe. I forget its name, but...
That's God dedication.
Yeah, make something like that.
Causing all that through the...
Yeah. Yeah, there are many examples of this in Turkey. Like, high up in the mountains, I think this was when the Christians were running away from Romans, and they went up to the mountains and... curved like churches like this, and lived in the caves, and there are even like small cities, like in small villages like this.
What kind of tools did they use?
I don't know. No. Yeah, whatever.
Probably hammer and chisel, huh?
Probably, like, because they say these are like built right after after Christ, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, in that period. So whatever was then available, they used those.
Like hammer and chisel.
And they're also like...
How long did it take to make 200?
No, they were built in those times, like a couple hundred years after Christ. I don't know how long did it take to build them.
Oh.
Yeah. There are like temples like this high up in the mountains and also like underground. They built like tunnels and...
Do they have any swastika on them?
I haven't seen them.
That would be interesting if you found swastika, take a picture and send it to the mission.
Okay, yeah, I will look at them.
Sure.
Anybody? Google and Wikipedia provides more information. I found this exact picture. It says these are actually Lycian tombs cut into the cliffs along the river, and that they were probably even like from 1000 BC or so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The one we are looking at?
No, the 5th century BC. So like 500 before Christ, 500 years. That's what it says.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, on the bus alone.
Hello. Salama. There's an om sound.
What is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe ma is oming?
I better go check it out.
There, now it's gone.
So, Matya, you think the early Christians used the swastika? Is that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That in at least in Rome, that was the sign they used to recognize each other that they are Christian, and then later on, the cross actually is a kind of an extension of the swastika. No, it has a plus sign in the top. Of course, later on, because there were so many crucifixion and and they use a lot of cross to crucify Christ and his followers, they eventually change to their cross.
Do you remember when we were doing the video?
I see.
And we had all those discussions about how people, there are theories that Christ was actually crucified on a tree, and then later on it was the story was changed that it was a cross to fit in with their symbol and stuff. Yeah, so.
Right. Yeah. One interesting thing is that, like, right very close to Izmir, there are, like, many ancient, like, churches. In fact, the cities they're in are called, like, are the same as the one mentioned in the Revelation. Like, you know, the first...
Did we lose him?
Church is Ephesus and Pergamos. Salome?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Like the first churches, Ephesus. I'm connecting from a like outside, so there could be some out, background noise every now and then. That's why I got muted for a while. So, but these churches, like the Ephesus, in Pergamos, and you know all the churches mentioned in the Revelation, they are like located very close to Izmir. And I've been to Ephesus, and it's an ancient like city. There's a big church in there, but I haven't seen. Maybe I didn't look. In fact, I didn't look for a swastika. But yeah, it is. It's a very like a historical place. Next time I go, I'll check and see.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if they have any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might like, you know, get rid of it even if there was one in the original one churches later on maybe, but yeah.
So how's everyone doing out
there?
All right. It took the words right out of my mouth, Eunice.
Good here.
Good here.
Good here.
Did you see the eclipse in Turkey?
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, we saw that for a very long period of time, like
2 hours,
maybe almost 2 hours, yeah, an hour and a half, maybe, yeah. I didn't know there was an eclipse first. Then I realized I was walking, and I realized the moon is not look as it should. Then I look in the internet and see that.
Wow.
It is one of the longest ones, I guess.
Earth getting slow, huh?
Yeah. I think there's another one in December.
Huh. Turkey?
No, like, I mean, there will be another one in December, or, yeah, like next year somewhere. And that one will be visible only in, I think, in America or in Hawaii and the Pacific.
It does, with Google, it doesn't matter where it is anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it. Yeah. They broadcasted it live. In a stream on the internet.
I see that. That's what she's showing on the screen. There we go. That's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, hey, now that's great.
Yeah.
That's cool. They updated that. That's interesting.
That's
really
neat.
Let's see. Yeah, that's.
There we go.
Wow.
Fascinating, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just go to Google and you got it there.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways.
How's the mission doing everywhere?
Yeah.
Anything amazing?
It is amazing.
End of discussion.
Exactly. There's no words.
How did your room with...
You haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is the life of the thief of the night. Just imagine what's coming next lifetimes.
Wow.
It hasn't even started yet, huh?
And we're going to catch some back to Rio Rancho, too. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If it gets much better, we had better be the new man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tickled by the people on Facebook, though, because, like, I'll post our link when I welcome new friends. And, you know, one lady said, oh, she said, I'm on the link. She said your link, so I explained it was the Mission of Maitreya's. And she was just having the greatest time. And somebody else posted the link in there. They have, like, this separate place, like a group place, and they posted the link there, and people are just saying it's wonderful, which they should be, but it's just so nice to hear that.
Yeah, actually, if you look at the unification of all, support the unification of all religions in the world, there's a list on the right side, which has, like people who have recruited the most people. And most of the people on that list, like, we have no idea who they are, you know.
So,
Senka D and Shelly Agarwal, you know, who are they? But
Shelly is from Pal Talk.
What about Sinead Nicola Tynan?
I think Maverick did him.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
It's great, though. It's great.
Couple of girls.
And lately, we've been looking for people that respond well to the mission, and then we try to let the other people with the mission know so they can add them as friends. So they have a lot of mission friends.
There's a rumor that Facebook is maybe going public with an initial valuing of $100 billion.
So, oh my goodness!
Wow.
It's not a small place. It's extremely, extremely powerful. Mm-hmm.
They have so many members all around the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, it grew a lot.
People use Facebook a lot in Turkey?
Do I personally, or
do people in Turkey? Is it big in Turkey?
Yeah, I think it is as big as anywhere else. Everyone on their like cell phones and laptops is everywhere. In fact, one thing that bothered me is that people play games in there. You know, they create like animated games, like they build farms and things. Do you know those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, people spend like hours on that and send you an invitation. Come and, you know, grow some carrots or something like that.
Okay.
And I was very surprised, like my accountant, who is like a guy in his 50s, very like serious guy, once like send an invitation like that. I think to all friends, and it came to me too. I was like, do you really play these games? So
are they growing organic? Local, fresh?
It better be.
I was gonna ask that, yeah. If you're growing organic, maybe I can come.
It's on easy mode, it's all pesticides, and on hard mode, it's all organic.
By the way, like, I rented, in fact, Beyond Mind, as a company, I rented almost like 3 acres of land from my family to do organic farming.
Wow.
Great. Great.
That's great. That's fantastic.
We have, I haven't started yet, but yeah. In fact, my father was already doing it. So I talked him into doing it under the company because it has some benefits also.
Sure. What are you going to grow there? Do you know what you're going to grow there?
In fact, they're already growing like pretty much everything they eat, like vegetables, fruits.
Wonderful.
Do you know how we're going to do it?
Do I know how?
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many of that we're going to grow and how the labor comes and all that?
Yeah. What they do here is, like, if you want to grow organic, you have to get certified. And to get certified, there are, like, some companies that come and help you. They analyze the soil, the land, and they give you like a report of like what you can do, what is good, and then they also help you with the business side of it, like how many people you need. If you know, the government helps you a lot in the nowadays. They give you like some grants, even though like even small grants for labor and for growing things. So I think I'll just go as we go. Yeah, I'll just learn as we go. You know, I'm reading some books now. Mm. And yeah.
That's great.
My last name is Farmer, so I might just become one then. So. And yeah, if I learn this, maybe I can do this in Izmir, and you know, maybe have a land here or rent a land here too, and then invite you all guys here.
Actually, if you have a good land and a good product, you can also start the restaurant.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Or add it to your Beyond Mind offerings. You know. Develop even more of the health aspect of it. Make sure that they eat a whole bunch of food before they do yoga.
That will help, huh?
Definitely.
You're going to lose them pretty fast.
Will they let you have chickens there? Because, like, Noor's idea of having a big compost pile and then chickens, which scratch and turn over the compost pile and also fertilize the compost pile, and they'll lay eggs, you know, in boxes in the compost pile, kind of serves many purposes.
It's not really my idea. You know, like making compost units, like you let things decompose in a big pile?
Yeah.
There's a guy up in Vermont who has decided to integrate his compost with his chickens. And so he has 40 acres of land, and using the leftover scraps from the land and probably things in surrounding areas, he creates large amounts of compost. He has 5 acres, I think, just of compost, basically, huge compost piles. And on that on that compost pile, he raises 1,200 chickens, and he feeds them absolutely nothing. They get 100% of their food directly from the scraps and the leavings that they can scratch and find in the compost pile, the insects and the worms that grow within it and the leftovers. And while they're scratching and searching for the food that they want, they're turning the compost and shaking it up and getting air and oxygen into it, which is something the compost needs to happen. And simultaneously, they're also leaving their waste. Yeah, they're fertilizing. They're leaving their waste, which is very important for compost to have a nitrogen source. And so it all sort of fits together. And then chickens mm-hmm. will lay in a box if you give them a box, so they don't lay their eggs in the compost. They're easy to harvest, so it all fits together, essentially.
Mm.
And he can save a whole lot because the main cost is just the feed. So anyway, it works out real well. It's a cool system. We were very impressed by it. Right? What?
It would be organic.
Mm-hmm. As long as the things you put on the compost pile are organic, then yeah, it would be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they teach you stuff like that in those, like, you know, seminars and things here. When you do want to grow like organic food, and you know, they say your farm has to be like it, you know, better be a closed system, so it's self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we thought was like we will have some like fruit trees. At one part of the land, and I think we will have the chickens, you know, and then you know their resting place in between the trees for fruit,
mm-hmm.
and also like the at the place that as you know we will also grow some things like probably some beans and soya beans and things like that to make compost.
Mm-hmm.
So, we thought the chicken just can go underneath the trees, you know, can walk around, and you know, also help fertilize the you know the trees easily. And as now you're saying that we can also let them go to the compost area and then just feed themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I think that'd be perfect.
So,
I've always thought that it'd be nice if you could, because if you've ever seen a fruit tree at the end of the season, there's tons of rotting fruit on the ground, and
mm-hmm.
rotting fruit
mm-hmm.
attracts bad insects. And so if you let the chickens and other things, like the goats and stuff, just eat them, basically it'll
mm-hmm.
help solve a problem. It's
yeah.
Agriculture now is you grow one thing only, you know. You say, oh, I'm a farmer. They're like, oh, what do you grow? I grow strawberries, I grow carrots, you know, I grow corn. But actually, it's much more effective to grow a lot of things together. They complement each other greatly. So.
They asked us when I went to this office to register as a farmer, they asked them, so what are you going to grow? I said, well, pretty much everything I can. So they wanted to list everything I was going to grow. So, but yeah, like, you know, I don't know if they do. I don't like think they do this in the you know modern traditional farming. You know, leave the soil land for like on like what do you call it? Planted, I guess, for a little while so it get rest.
Mm-hmm.
Or you grow things like in order.
Actually, there was. Go ahead, Matthew.
Go ahead. If you know someone, old farmers living there, they probably even know more about the land there
mm-hmm.
than government.
They do, yeah.
Wow.
In fact, yeah, we grew up, all my family was farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had like also cows and, you know, sheep and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They made, you know, they were living like that. They have big herds,
mm-hmm.
and so yeah. I used to hear stories from my grandfather about that, like how you should do things. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, I worked on the field. I used to work on the field in summer time when I was a kid. So, but yeah, they know a lot. In fact, they used to know a lot. In fact, my grandfather used to, you know, what they call it organic now. They were just doing it normally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how it's been until 50 years ago.
Yep.
It's only been 50 years that that's such a thing. Yeah.
They didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, they look for the phases of the moon to, you know, plant things and, see, you know, use the seed accordingly.
Yeah, they have been at it for thousands
seed.
Of years, so.
Yeah, my grandfather had a room underneath his house where he has like seeds
mm-hmm.
and yeah and the seeds were like you know Like, for instance, let's say you ate something from a fruit from a tree. If you take the what do you call that? Like when you eat the fruit, what are you left with?
The core.
Seed.
Like the seed. If you just plant it in the soil,
mm-hmm.
you could just grow another tree.
Mm-hmm.
But now the seeds are not like that.
Okay.
At least most of them.
That's right.
We got a hybrid now.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting though is
just for one use.
What's interesting is that even organic farming is becoming, well, I guess it always was dogmatic, but it's sort of returning to that as well. There's a new thing now called biodynamic farming, and if you look it up, part of it is there are 9 mixtures that you're supposed to always put in your soil, and you have to put them in a cow horn and bury them in the ground for like 5 months before you can use them, and that's supposed to make it better. It imparts secret magical powers to your soil. So, as always, it goes too far the other way, too.
Mm.
Yeah, people just don't know what natural means, you know. Yes.
Something else interesting that we just found was that, we recently saw an article that was written about 2 years ago that scientists have discovered that trees release a certain compound into the air that actually develops clouds and creates rain. And that the drier it is, or the warmer it is, the more those they release, or something like that. So it has like a cooling effect, kind of, on the forest, and provides rain. So like it's just another thing that you know people didn't know about that is now affecting them because they've cut so many of the forests. And something else that'd be useful to have on a farm is a forest or a lot of trees around. They're not useless, you know.
Yeah.
They create rain. So.
Yeah.
And leaves, the dead leaves from the trees are so important.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever gone up to the mountain and like a pine forest and just like looked at the ground? It's like a foot deep, you know. It's the most amazing thing. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are so many subtle things that humans still haven't discovered yet. The more people meditate, the more they recognize and realize the subtlety of God's creation and how integrated it is and interrelated it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe they come down from the ways and accept his ways and realize that's what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the best farm possible would be where the chickens have no idea that they're not wild. And the goats have no idea that they're not wild. And the plants don't even know that they're in a farm. You know, you model it 100% to become like completely the same as it is in nature. And then you don't lose any of those subtleties. You use technology to do that. You increase efficiency. You make it easy. But you don't break any of those cycles, any of that system. It's like you're not even there.
Yep. One thing for sure, we don't want to go back to the regular farming as it used to be so hard for people just to create some food. We will use technology to automate and use self-sufficient farming that people are released to concentrate on meditation and spiritual practice.
So are all of you as fascinated by farming as us three?
Yes,
we
are. Tahara had put an email out about a webinar, and I went to it, and it was fascinating. It was talking about saving organic seeds because there's going to be problems with food in the future where it's going to go, prices are going to go way up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was talking about these domes you could make. I forgot what they called them exactly.
Geodesic.
Something like that. And they were growing strawberries up in Canada in the winter inside of those because it's always the air circulates and it stays warm in there. Anyways, the whole webinar was fascinating, and I was able to download the books so that they're on my computer. I thought I would keep that for when I come.
You mean you bought his books, or did they give you the material?
He offered a really, really good price, something like 5 or 6 books. So, yes, oh. I did.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you mind emailing those to us?
They have to be.
Nor, I have one ready to mail to you.
Oh, great.
What were you saying, Keisha?
Oh, I said they have, you know, they're downloaded, but they would have to be printed out.
Okay.
I did that, Keisha. I got a cartridge, and I printed it out, and I made copy, and I have it ready to send to the mission,
that's
actually.
Great. Okay.
That's great. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. It's called the Eden Biodome Revolution. It's build your own geodesic greenhouse dome. And it was like Keisha was saying, you can grow in the dead of winter or the heat of summer.
And they're not supposed to be that difficult to build, actually, with a couple people, some people working together.
Right. His presentation was really very, very nice and showed how they all worked together to build it, and it was actually beautiful. But the beauty part of it is you can grow everything in there. And also it's like a community thing. You know, everyone comes together and also works on it, and then all the food that you grow, you share. And like I said, if it's very, very hot or very, very cold, you can still grow in it. So, yeah, we had some other people that were interested in it.
And there were some other books, too. So maybe I'll be able to print off, like, you know, one or something. But they were all, you know, great farming and growing books. So
there were good bugs, bad bugs, organic soil, and gardener's guide, and going
something
green.
about tomatoes. Tomatoes. The best, yeah. And, like, he offered a whole package really inexpensively. I thought it was a good deal.
Mm-hmm. I'll be putting it up here soon. So let's see.
Biodome.
Yeah, that's the name.
His name was Casper. Kacper. Casper Postowski. Postowski. Eden Biodome Revolution.
And there was also a water thing that he talked about, and he did, like Maitreya was... Freya talked about in the Golden Keys having goldfish in the water, and he talked about that as well.
Right.
That's called aquaponics. It's a very interesting system.
It's
very interesting. I don't remember how exactly it works, but you grow hydroponic vegetables and you have fish in the water, and they feed each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that book because that book cost extra.
That's more useful for things like outer space travel anyway. Seriously, like stuff like that is really cool for in the future. But if you have soil, just do the normal taste test. Go buy something hydroponic and then go buy something local and organic. It just doesn't taste as good. They still haven't figured it out as well.
It misses life. There's something in the soil. Yes, that's needed.
But it'd be great for outer space.
He said the soil on Earth within a certain period of time, I'm not sure. I mean, that a lot of it's really going to be no good anymore because of what Monsanto and those companies have done to the soil.
It may be so for a while, but it can be replenished. It is doable. It just takes some work, some hard work. And it's not everywhere. So...
It's interesting. There are even some plants that you can plant in an area that's contaminated with heavy metals, and the plants will pull the heavy metals out of the soil.
Mm, what plants are those?
I don't know, but I had heard about that they can plant these plants and they'll pull out the toxins out of the soil, and then you destroy the plants.
Oh, okay.
No, they're not for eating. No,
okay.
Or compost.
It's actually a species of plants. They're called brassicas, and they pull the brass out. That's not true. I made that up.
No, that was supposed to be a joke.
Oh
He said it with such a straight face. Did you believe him?
You can hear my straight face? Well, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Well, I wonder if baking soda and Epsom salt would do the same thing, because that's what you do in a bath.
Right.
All right, you and Ma can be in charge of scrubbing clean the earth.
No problem.
You know what else pulls out heavy metals in humans is the clay, the kind of clay that you can take internally or do externally.
You know what's really fascinating, actually, is there's a species of parrot, I believe, I think in South America, and their main diet is an extremely poisonous ant. And so they eat a whole bunch of these ants, and then they eat clay. And in their digestive system, the clay sucks out the poison and makes it harmless for them, and then they digest the ants.
Interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
So cool.
Wow, that God is so neat, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Surely these are signs for those who have eyes to see, says the Quran.
Should we say God is the neater?
Yes. For sure.
Yeah. Even just watching just like a simple plant growing up is amazing. It's, you just put the seed and then it just gives you this like wonderful thing.
It's incredible. Yeah.
It's such a neat thing to watch kids watch that too, because they get like blown away by it.
It's like the opening of the lotus, you know. I mean, it happens to everything, or the babies. If you ever watched a little kitten, all of a sudden you see the little ears start to pop up, and then you see the little nails coming out, and it's all a process, like the babies, the cats, the flowers. It's a pretty beautiful evolutionary process.
So it's obvious that in the community of light, people are going to be farmers too.
It all fits together. That's the thing, is that each people outside of the mission, their visions are all only apart, but it all fits together, you know? Like, geodesic dome is good, but think about if you use the geodesic dome with solar power, right? You know what I mean? If you get a good solar operation going, you get free power. You don't have to worry about making it airtight anymore. You know, you have unlimited power. You can grow year round easily. And then if you add community to that, you don't have to worry about labor. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everyone gets better food.
Yeah. And also the children, you learn so much on the farm. You learn so much in nature. Instead of just sitting in one small room in a classroom, you're out in the nature.
It all fits together.
If this the land that I rented goes anywhere, we could have you come here and intern for a while.
Oh yeah. All right.
In fact, we can use you as a manager or something. not an intern. With all your experience.
Yeah, my 7 months. Old hand.
Maybe after Nurch finished the books, we can send him to Turkey.
Well, that would be nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Guess they'll be done tomorrow. Just
maybe that's the way to get you going, huh?
No, just kidding.
That's good. No, he's doing great. Actually, half of his dough is done already. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, there was an election in Turkey. Have you guys seen that on the news over there?
I haven't.
No.
Yes. Go ahead.
The governing party increased their votes and win for the third time in Turkey. This is like a first in the history of this country.
But they didn't give him the power he wanted, though.
No, yeah, he didn't get it. In fact, they had, I think they have now less
power.
What do you call them? Like as senators, I don't know the equivalent of that in Turkey. They have less number of that in the parliament than they used to. But they still get 50% of the votes, so.
See that noise?
Yunus, I think your microphone is hitting your face.
Is it? It says another Ma talking, but I don't know, yeah.
It could be Ma too. Someone's microphone might be hitting their face. Yeah, Ma, it might be you actually, you're right.
Okay.
You
could
move it away from your face.
Okay, let's try that.
Yeah, much better.
I think my work is done. You guys are so good in mission and the vision. When you try the talking, I enjoyed listening to you all.
Mm-hmm. That's because all thanks to God and you.
thanks to God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It really is amazing, with the vision and everything. Like how much is out there? People can do amazing things, but without God in there or without knowing these things, mm-hmm. it's just Noor said. Like it's just separated from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even like this company, you know, Beyond Mind here. When I go to register for something, they say, oh, so you have this company, you do yoga, Pilates, and, you know, psychology, personal growth things, and then you do farming? What is the connection? I'm like, well...
Well-rounded.
There will be even more.
You have to eat healthy to stay healthy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
There is nothing separated from anything in the universe. Everything is interrelated. Those who think differently, they don't know the truth.
We can turn everything into a model of an education for the mission. You know, anything can reflect it in so many different ways.
We just don't have the people and resources, that's it. But it's coming. It's people are going to take different part of the mission and go for it, and eventually it manifests itself.
You could see that on a small scale in Facebook, because people sometimes are just picking up and doing something that you don't even expect, and it's so exciting. So, I mean, on a larger scale, when that happens, you can just, gosh, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
That's the power of social networking. You know, it's for free. Yeah. So it's the best we can do right now.
I like what Elvira is doing.
Yes.
She's all over the place.
Yes.
Boy, she must be really delving into the website. She's posting from every different part.
Mm-hmm.
Even on Twitter.
She's on Twitter also?
Yeah. She picks up from there too.
She has a blog and another website too where she's been posting since 2009. So.
Which website is that?
I don't know, just look up her name, Google it.
Okay.
It's the easiest way.
Yeah, I love the people who just take the mission and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
just that flute is theirs.
So
what's happening in the election in Turkey?
What's happening?
Yeah, how do the people like that? Do they like that? What's happening there? Or?
Well, one thing they people like is that this party really improves the country. They do a lot of service. Like, they built a lot of roads. Mm-hmm. They're renewing, like, the, you know, the train system, high-speed trains. And you could see this, like, this the town that my family lives is the mayor is from this party, and that city grew like very much in the past 5 years that I've been there. And Izmir, Izmir is the from the other major party, which is the one that Atatürk started. Mm-hmm. And they claim they're secular and all that. And so this town, Izmir, even if it is the third largest city in Turkey, it is not as developed as this town that my family is. Mm-hmm. So the people like that about this governing party, AK party. And I think that's why they vote for it, because they deliver everything they promise. And, you know, Turkey is doing great now because for the first time maybe in the history, the inflation is very low, I think somewhere around 3%. They say it was only like this when Atatürk was alive.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough money to pay their debt. If they want to. The economy is looking up and people are, you know, finding whatever is promised is done. So they vote for it. But at the same time, there's a part of, you know, they probably didn't give enough power to this party because they are still afraid they might change the regime, make mm-hmm. it like a religious one, like mm-hmm. Iran. But this party. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that there is some dictatorial tendency there.
Not too much now, but yeah, it might turn into that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is actually there was like a secret government in Turkey, like the military mm-hmm. was. Whenever a group gets a little too powerful, the military will just take them down. You know, and the judges, the judicial system will just work for that. You know, whatever the military says will happen. So this party now, what they do is they say, hey, this is a democratic party, and so the military is just works for the, you know, the country. They don't govern them. Everyone, so some things they do is good. You know, they're bringing more like better procedures to everything, the way the country works. But yeah, if they get the, I don't know if whatever, what will happen if they get the full power, are they gonna, they have this thing they call modern Islam or tolerant Islam. What will happen if they get the, you know, enough power? Are they going to change the constitution in a way that will, I don't know, serve their interest the most? You know, as we know, people usually they fall for the power, but.
Well, we know what happened to absolute power.
Yeah.
Absolute power only should God have absolute power.
Exactly. But also, like, the skeptics, also, like, from Europe and all around the country, are afraid of these guys because they say, you know, we believe in God. You know?
As a no-no.
Yeah, that's why people are against it. They say, hey, they have a religious background. I say, well, they should. And they're saying they will bring God into the government. And
yep.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It's going to take around 100 years before that's changed.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think God is working, you know, making people ready. And these people, knowing they are unknowing, they're serving the purpose, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the technologies we need are growing at amazing rates. Solar is getting better and better each day. You know, all of these things. It's exactly what we're looking for. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is happening, for sure. There's no doubt about that. Just we have to be patient and keep our faith and not lose it, ever.
Mm.
Speaking on that subject, if I could share something. Maverick started a room, Tahara had done one called Meditation Discussion, and he has set one up for Paltalk called Everything is God. And I had kind of accidentally worked with him the first time in that room, and it went really well. So anyways, he's decided that it will be open on Sundays, every Sunday, and it'll be 3 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 2 to 4 Central Standard Time, and it'll be 1 to 3 Mountain Standard Time. So if y'all want to make note of that, if anybody, you know, feels like coming in and, you know, being a part of it, for sure he and I are going to make sure that we're there. So, okay. And Pal Talk, of course.
The religion section?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's called Everything is God.
All right. Good announcement.
So
maybe
good.
We should put it in the news brief.
Oh, I think he will. I'll check with him.
Yeah, probably he's gonna send a report.
Probably you both will, if I know you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. You know me, huh? I better ask him first. Well, you know, I just like the stuff to get out so people can, you know.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a perfect thing to announce.
That's good.
Yeah. We were being
it's
serious.
Good work.
Yep.
Yeah.
No objection to that. Go ahead.
Don't forget to put an announcement in Facebook.
Oh, that's good too, Anandama. Good. Mm. Thanks, God.
So yeah, the mission is absolutely growing then. Mm-hmm. In the online, and then we're learning farming and getting lands and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another plan for if we didn't get around here, we might come to Turkey, but that's the plan also to get land around here and start growing vegetable and other things. Actually have cows and goats and chicken and all the things that we need, and we make it a self-sufficient farming, which is off the grid, and start preparing for whatever comes to the rest of humanity. So if you are having land there, that's a good idea probably. That can be an attraction for attracting more people for the mission too. If people want to come and help you out to grow things there and expand it and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be great to have a mission seed sharing kind of cooperative where all around the world we could share seeds.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of seed, you know, so you can share it with other people.
Actually, the climate of Turkey is pretty similar to New Mexico, isn't it?
Yes.
So probably each of us could, like, give some stuff to the other that is not too popular in your area.
Right.
And that would be really, I'm sure they would really enjoy that.
Right.
Actually, if you have a complete organic seed in Turkey that the farmers can, if you find something like that, we might actually buy it from them and bring them here. But seed is not important. You can bring seed from any place to your locality because that's just a germination. It is the local earth and the air and the water which makes that organic, local, fresh, good for you, not the seed itself. So seed can be shared from any place of the world to other places and become local, it adopts itself to locality. But if you find organic seeds in Turkey, we were very interested to buy some.
Sure.
Well, you don't have to buy it because I'll just give it to you, but yeah.
Sure, if you do that, even that's even better.
Yeah, even the regular farms here or, you know, farmers usually use, like, good seeds, you know. So I'm kind of, like, collecting or, like, looking where I can find really the original seeds. So, yeah, then somehow I can get them to you, too.
And we can send you some different things, too. Also, we could send you some unusual, you know, heirloom tomatoes or something like that. Yeah, we could do that.
We have tons of chili. That's New Mexico.
Well, actually, that can become the beginning of the collecting and making a bank of the original seed on Earth.
Right.
And later on, maybe we can replenish Earth.
Right.
How is the water system doing in Rio Rancho? And also in Turkey, how is the water systems?
Well, in Rio Rancho, at least, it has not rained yet this season, but the water still exists. I mean, it still exists. The water mostly comes from either the Rio Grande River or from underground wells, which lead down to the groundwater. The groundwater is being depleted. Yeah, the aquifer. The aquifer is being depleted, there's no question about it, but there is still a lot left. And the Rio Grande is fine, but it is full of chemicals and, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff. So, but it's water. It does work.
In Turkey, especially the place that the land is, a little north of the country, it's, in fact, the part of the country that delivers the drinking water. Almost, they're like maybe half an hour drive from my parents' house. There are very, very large facilities of companies that they bottle water from underground wells and things. So it's the water is very abundant. There's a lake very close by, and it has like some underground, freshwater fountains. And the whole city, in fact, gets the drinking water, the tap water from that lake. And also, you could just drill your own well here.
Wonderful.
Right now we don't have anything, like, we don't have a well, we don't have much of a watering system, we don't have nothing, in fact, at this land. It is just like this land, and my father goes there and just, put the seed and things just grow, and he goes back and, do some cleaning. And with rain and a little bit of watering, things grow, so you don't do much. As much as you would do in a different area.
So, there's advantages and disadvantages to each area. Water is by far the most difficult part of growing in New Mexico is water, but there are many advantages that go along with it, such as weeds can't really grow very well, you know, and a
insects.
Lot of other things.
It's not a lot of insects problem. There are some, but not a lot.
So there's always a good side and a bad side.
And there's tons of sun, and there's a long growing season.
Yep.
Very nice.
And there's squash bugs, too.
And they're waiting for you, Kyosha. They're looking for you.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I was hoping to see them again.
Turkey is much more greener than New Mexico, though. They have much more water.
Yes, definitely. Sure. If you can just plant stuff and they grow, definitely. In New Mexico, if you plant stuff without watering, it dies. Period.
If a funny thing is, like, even if you don't plant anything here, sometimes you see, like, not sometimes, you know, take the, you know, you drive and you see things are growing. Just like, you know, naturally.
Out of the highway.
Yeah. You know, in the middle of the highway, you know, empty space.
It changes everything. It's in the Northeast where it rains a lot. Some farms have to use a plow and a tractor every 2 weeks just to deal with weeds.
To get the weeds.
Because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you can grow a cow on like 8 acres of pasture. Down here, you have to weed just, you know, 5 or 6 times the whole season. But you need like 60 acres to grow a cow. Mm-hmm. So it's just different, that's all.
But there are a lot of techniques to deal with the dryness. Like, you just pack in everything. You plant it so close, and you mulch like crazy so that it keeps the water in. You put lots of leaves and things like that to hold the water in. So. Mm-hmm.
The Hopis used to do it without irrigation at all. It was called dry farming, you know.
Isn't that interesting?
Even in the desert. So it's possible. You just have to do it right.
I think it will be a great, like, learning experience to, you know, perfect the farming system in Albuquerque, because then probably that could be used in space or, you know, other planets, you know, when they go to Mars or something.
Right.
Less cold water, go to farming.
That's true.
That'd be cool.
Mm. Yeah, there was a series, like a documentary the other day. They just, like, do, you know, how they will go to Mars, and I don't know if you've seen anything like that. Starting a colony in there. That was interesting.
Can you imagine? How can a farmer, like, once we start reaching into space, how could a farmer not be extremely smart, you know, to be able to do something like that? Like, the whole stereotype of a farmer not being intelligent is going to change.
Right.
It's going to have
to.
There's no way that farming could be done in that way without a college-level education and, you know, technology and all of that. It's just...
Yeah. I think the farmers will be the real scientists in a way.
That's going to change. It's going to have to. We're going to change it. Yep. Farming will become smart.
Right. So lesson one for farming is over. Today's lesson. we will have a 10-minute break. Then a pop quiz. So it's great. It's great, these meetings. Nice to hear from you all.
Okay.
It's nice to come together. It is.
It is. It's good to hear everyone's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Feel that community. Even that little bird, the ocean. That we know is not really a bird.
I don't know how you can live with that, Kyosha. After a day, I would be tearing it out of the wall. It drives me absolutely crazy.
Y'all know my secret, huh?
I like it.
I should have put my headphones on. We wouldn't have heard it.
Right.
Next time.
Well... So I guess if there isn't anything else, we could just say the saloons and
all right.
Finish
Shalom
this meeting
everybody.
Get a good note.
Shalom.
All right.
Shalom. Shalom, everyone.
Thanks, good.
Sounds good. Oh, thanks to God.
Salam.
Thanks, God. Salam, everyone.
Salam.